Good evening. Welcome to the gospel meeting one more time. Where I grew up in Laurinville, New Brunswick, I used to hear the term of the gospel bells ringing one more time. And in the prayer meeting tonight, it was suggested that you might hear the good news of salvation. Let's sing together hymn number 16 in our song sheet. But I would like to focus or have your attention focused on the second verse of the hymn. Whosoever cometh must not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Let's sing together hymn number 16. Well, I look around the room and I really don't see a different face tonight than all of whom was here last night. Possibly one or two. And I think of the message that went forth. And interestingly enough, I sat in my chair as our brother spoke, and a good number of the verses and the portions that he read to you were ones that the Lord had put on my very heart yesterday. And if you were here, he read those verses in Revelation 20. It spoke very clearly of what would happen if you did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I think to myself as I stand here and I look out at you right now, hearing those words, how could you ever not choose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? How could you pass him up for that? There's a little verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and 17 at the end of that verse. It says, ye are yet in your sins. Ye are yet in your sins. It says here to not delay. I feel an urgency each and every day that builds up greater and greater and greater, because I know my Savior is coming, and He's coming very soon. But you know, there are other things that happen in life that can catch you unaware, that you are not prepared for. Just on can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday now, but I received a message in the morning that our brother was very ill and he would probably last maybe 4 or 5 more days. And in the afternoon, I received another message very clearly stating that that brother was now with the Lord. I had a dear friend, a brother in the assembly where I grew up, older than me, and he walked out of the meeting room after the weeknight meeting. He walked around to his car. He opened the door to get in, and he was ushered into eternity. A dear sister I knew, she walked out of the meeting room, the same one. She got in her car. She drove down the road. A man, a neighbor, looked out his window and recognized this car parked in the driveway across the road at an odd angle and had been running for a while. Maybe I better go check. So he walked across the road. And there with this car still in drive, with her foot on the brake, this dear sister had gone home to be with the Lord. She had passed on. I heard a story from a man, a brother of mine who stood right here today. A family. A son. He didn't come up the stairs that morning. They went in search and found him. He had passed away in his bed. We often say that verse, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You could walk out the door tonight, and your life could be over. Are you ready? In Amos 4, it says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Are you prepared if the Lord Jesus came right now? Are you prepared if you were ushered into eternity? Dear ones, the good news is this. I've heard it all weekend. We have just sung about it. The door stands open. The door still stands open. He cries out to you, "Come." He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Won't you believe Him now? We have also heard in 2 Peter chapter 3, "He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish." That means He's been waiting for you to come to Him now and believe. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait until this meeting is over. It could be too late. I had been thinking of this verse in Acts 20 most of yesterday. I've heard it quoted probably 2 times at least today. I have an older brother whom I love, and I told him that I had the gospel tonight, and would you pray for me? And he texted me that verse in Acts 20. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wondered a little bit as I considered that verse, do we know what those things mean? Do we know what it is to repent? Do we know what it is to have faith? Sometimes we hear these words over and over and over again, and I thought, you know, it might be okay if I just shared with you a little note. I wrote this down a long time ago because I felt that I needed help. I wrote faith. It's belief. It's confidence or trust. Belief that is not based on proof. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he came unto his own, and there was one named Thomas. And Thomas, he said, unless I see the nail prints in your hand and in your side, I will not believe. So the Lord Jesus showed them to him, and he had the proof he needed. But he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That is faith, dear ones. That is faith. Do you believe tonight? Can you see? In your heart, do you see that one that came down from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost? You are lost and undone in your sins. Our brother told you so last night. He read you the verses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have no hope. But this man went to the cross for you. And they took him and they nailed him up. They put a crown of thorns in his brow. They smote him on the face. They plucked the very hairs from his face. Oh, and they hated him. And he looked down at them as he looks at you right now. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Their hearts were only evil continually. That is what makes up our hearts, dear ones, when we are in sin. And he stayed on that cross out of love for you and for I, so that we would have a way of escape from that horrible, evil place, hell, that we heard of last night. I want to look at that for a moment in Luke chapter 23. Verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. It's important, dear one, that you recognize that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There is only this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross with these sinners, these two malefactors. One, he mocked him. I don't need your salvation. There is nothing you can do for me. The other recognized that he was in a very poor state. His life was ending, and he was getting what he deserved. Dear ones, we deserve that same thing. If you are still in your sins, then you are getting the due reward for your deeds. But there was something in the heart of this man that turned, and he looked to Jesus on the cross. And saying those words, We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, I believe is a picture of repentance. And dear ones, if you want to come to Christ, you need to repent. You need to own. You need to recognize. Children, you need to see that you are a sinner. I made a note. Repentance. To make a change of mind, heart, and action by turning away from sin and self and turning to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith. By faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man can boast. There is nothing you can do to make your way to heaven except believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man did. This man who had committed horrible, evil crimes, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had faith that Jesus could save his soul. The Lord Jesus responds today. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If you put your trust in Christ right now, if you believe that He can wash your sins in His precious blood and make you white as snow, if you believe that He is risen and that He has gone and prepared a place for you and that He is coming back someday very soon, maybe right now, you will have eternal life with Him. That malefactor would be with Him right then. Today thou shalt be with me. I assure you, if you believe in Him now, and He comes right now, today, you will be with Him. That is good news. That is good news. How would we not choose it? How do we reject it? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I visited a dear sister whom I love the other day. We spent some time together, my family and her. And we got talking about some of our airplane rides and the difficulties that come along with them, such as delays and maybe being late. And she told me of checking in early and having lots of time to get to her gate. And so she took a little time with her daughter and they went and did some things together. And when she returned, she walked in and the gate was empty. There was no one there. What would it be, dear one, for you, if in the twinkling of an eye you looked and this room was empty and you were the only one here? It would be too late. It would be too late for you. Says, enter while you may. Well, thankfully they had held the plane for our sister and she made it. But she said something to me that struck my heart. And she said, I often think when that door shuts on that plane, dear ones, that door is standing open to you now. Won't you come while you may? It's going to shut. It's going to shut, and maybe very soon. Chapter 13. Verse 24, it says, to strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Will that be you? Will you be on the outside of that door? On your way to a lost eternity? Hearing that voice, I never knew you. I know you not. Verse 27, he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It says, you know not the day nor the hour. The time, the seasons. We don't know when the Lord might come. We don't know when you may be ushered into eternity. I used to really enjoy snowmobiling. I suppose I'm back in Canada now, so you probably get a fair bit of snow here in Regina. I was a young man, and we used to go to a place in Nova Scotia. It was called the Cape Breton Highlands. And a man that was a little bit younger than me, he used to come into the snowmobile shop quite regularly that I got my goods at. He was married, had two children and one on the way. He was very excited about it. I had never talked to him about the Lord Jesus. He was going to the very same place that I would go and unload my snowmobile and go up the trail. And it just so happened this day as he unloaded and he started out, going around the corner, somebody was stopped on the side. And he had to make a quick move to the left to go around, or he may have hit this snowmobile. When he made the turn out to the left, there was another snowmobile coming very quickly that he did not see, and they hit head on. 1 man, I believe, in his late 50s, early 60s, and this young man, somewhere in his 30s, ushered into eternity. Gone. He hadn't driven the snowmobile for 3 minutes. He anticipated hours of pleasure, and it was over like that. I could tell you stories like this all night. I know one after the other, after the other, after the other. Some that were believers, some that weren't. They did not expect to have their life ended at that moment. They did not expect to miss out on their children being born, their businesses going on. Unbelieving, they didn't expect the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how you sit here tonight? Not anticipating these things, not ready. I think of Noah and the ark back in Genesis. And I think of how God looked and he saw the wickedness of man. There is not a person in this room tonight that does not know the wickedness of man's heart. There is not one here tonight that is of age, that has heard the meetings, that does not know that we are in the last days and how horrible this world has become. Well, that day, in Noah's day, it was a pretty bad state. God was sorry that he made man and that man went on in that way. But there was one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Unmerited favor. For by grace are ye saved. Unmerited favor. God said to Noah, I'm going to destroy all that breathes. Go and build an ark. I won't read it all to you, but you know, he gave him all the schematics. He had all the dimensions. And in it was a window and a door. And while Noah built that ark, I'm certain there must have been many inquiries as to why he was building such a thing. And I'm certain that Noah most certainly told of what was to come. And that door was open. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 16, it says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, And a little bit further down, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower and second and third story shalt thou make it. Verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Verse chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 7. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. It speaks of Noah and his family going in. It speaks of the animals. All of those things. The fowls. But it never mentions any others. Verse 16. And the Lord shut him in. That great door. In that ark. That would have been salvation to so many if they would have believed. That door was shut. It doesn't say it here, but I have often thought of what it must have been like for all those ones that were outside of the ark. When those torrential rains started coming down and they recognized that they had no hope and there was nowhere for them to go. And as the water got deeper, dear ones, this is where we're at in this world right now. And that water is getting deeper and deeper. How long can you tread? They had nothing to hold on to. They must have been scrabbling at the side of that ark, trying to make a way of salvation for themselves. But there was no hope, and it was too late, and that door was shut. You know, it says later on when the waters abated that God called Noah out of the ark. It says that he blessed Noah and his family. You will be blessed in so many ways, if you would just put your trust in him now. Don't wait another moment. I thought of this hymn that we used to sing quite often when, I guess I was younger. Some still probably sing it. It's in the Echoes of Grace. But I was really thinking of the last verse. It's number 20. It says, but if you still his call refuse and all his wondrous love abuse, soon will he sadly from you turn, your bitter prayer for pardon spurn. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Is that what you will hear? Too late. Too late. It's been quite interesting as we've gone through the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, and we see a small picture of what it'll be like, of the things to come. And as you look further in, there's more detail that heavenly glory. But it's not that. It's that you'll be with the Lord Jesus. That is the good news of salvation. He is the one who did all the work. He is the one who laid down his life. He is the one that rose again. And he says in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also." Isn't that wonderful? The door stands open to you right now for that, to be with him. And he will come again at any moment and take you to be with him for all eternity. Maybe we could sing together hymn number 22. Verse 5 says, "O sinner, ere it be too late, flee now to mercy's open gate and join Christ's waiting band. Trim your lamps and be ready, for the bridegroom's nigh." That one is coming at any moment. Be ye ready.
Trim your lamps and be ready. Trim your lamps and be ready.
So, dear one, if you're still in your sins, repent now. Recognize that you are a sinner. Turn from it and turn to God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Let's pray. Our God and Father,